Joshua chapter 13. I appreciate Brother Gary Forney. He's my compadre in ministry. It's exciting to see what the Lord is doing with Brother Forney and the ministry there. In fact, that's how All Points Baptist Mission came into existence. Brother Forney came back from the Arctic with a burden to get more missionaries in the Arctic Circle and started the ministry there at Calvary Baptist, of course, Points North Baptist Mission. And a few years later, Pastor Snow came to me. At that time, I was the International Field Coordinator for the Rock of Ages Prison Ministry, and he said, we want to make this a worldwide mission outreach, not just the Arctic. And I said, well, praise the Lord, preacher. Brother Snow and I went to school together years ago, and he's a good friend of ours. He said, well, I said, I've been praying for the right man to do that. I said, well, amen. And he said, and God told me it's you. And I said, oh, me, amen. And as soon as he said it, God smote my heart and said, yes, sir. I don't know a man in this world I'd rather work with than Pastor Don Snow, our pastor. I tell you what, if you knew the story, I'll take just a minute and I'll tell you this part of the story. If you knew the story, when Pastor Snow took Calvary Baptist Church 23 years ago, on a Sunday night, devoted him in. He got up Monday morning to find a place to live, started looking in the newspaper, opened the newspaper. There's an article that said, bank foreclosing on mortgage, Calvary Baptist Church. Called the deacon, said, what's going on? He said, well, preacher, we figured we told you you wouldn't come. He said, well, what else is going on? And he found out the former pastor left town owing money, went up and down the street, found out the church owed $20,000 to businesses in town. He went to every one of them and said, you give me time, I'll pay every dime you got. We owe you. Went to the bank. He said, I don't know what's going on, but if you give me a few months, I'll find out why. The banker said, okay. And they've paid every dime of money that church owed. Just finished the third building program debt-free. He personally went to the man that the former pastor owed money for rent and painted the man's house and barn personally. And cleared the debt. That's the kind of guy I like working for, amen? Working with. He's a blessing to be around. Look in Joshua chapter number 13. I got to get there. And we're looking forward to the next few nights together. Now, come back. It'll be a blessing. Pray for me. We were here, supposed to be here a couple years ago. I had the first case of shingles. I'm on the tail end of the second case of shingles. And I guess they're following me. I don't know what, amen? They say it's stress. I said, I'm in the ministry. There's no stress. Amen. I raised three teenagers. There's no stress. Amen. And Lord willing, Lord's been good to us, and we're on the tail end of that. And I just spent 4 days with Chris Barron. That should give anybody stress. Amen. Amen. And he's getting married. Pray for him. He is so boogie-eyed and over stuff. And I told him the other night, I said, you're marrying out of your league, brother, amen? And he just looked at me kind of funny, like, who are you, amen? But it's exciting, but the Lord's been good. And what I was going to tell you, in these missions conferences, and the Lord's enabled us to preach a few, I was preaching a few years ago in a missions conference, and I said to a pastor, I said, preacher, I said, I believe missions is the heartbeat of God. He said, you're right. I said, if it is so, you ought to be able to preach mission principles out of every book in the Bible. He said, you're right. He said, why don't you do it? I said, sound like something you ought to do. He said, no, you're the mission fellow. Well, back in August, as I was praying, the Lord said, you ought to do it. I'm up to the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. And I wanted to get into some other things tonight, but the Lord brought me back to the book of Joshua. What the pastor talked about, the theme of the conference, till the whole world knows. Look in Joshua chapter 13. Notice this one verse, and then we'll come back to it. In verse 1, he said, now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Underline that phrase. He said, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here this week. We appreciate Pastor Cole and the work that you have used him to do in this place, and the testimony of this church and this ministry and this pastor is radiates around this country. I pray, Father, now that you meet with us this evening and this week. Lord, may not just be another meeting about how we're going to give more money, but Father, it'd be a meeting that would challenge us and cause us to renew in our hearts a desire to do more to reach this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, now you just bless in a great way, and we'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, when you get to Joshua chapter 13, you have to go back to Joshua chapter 1, and we won't go back there and read the verses, but you got to go back to Joshua. We'll go back there to Joshua chapter 1 and read a couple of verses with me in Joshua chapter 1. And you got to understand that when you get to chapter 13 and it says Joshua was old and stricken in years, God is trying to show us something. And of course, you know what happens here in Joshua chapter 1 in verse number 3. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, this is God talking to Joshua. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give thee, even to the children of Israel. And every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. And when you get to chapter 13, Joshua's got to chapter 13 by claiming the promises of God. Amen. God told Joshua in chapter 1, Moses is dead. Now you get this people, and you get across this river, and you get into that land, and every place the sole of your foot shall trod, I'm going to give it to you. Just like I told Moses, and just like I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. Now get over there and do it. Amen. And hey, folks, listen, you read those first 12 chapters, God did exactly what he said he would do. Amen. Hey, folks, listen, we need to get back to claiming the promises of God in our lives as Christians and believing that God didn't just do things like he did in days gone by and as he was with great preachers and great missionaries in days gone by. God's still doing that today. Amen. Just like he took preachers like in days gone by, like Adnan Judson and Hudson Taylor and David Livingston, and reached the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, he'll do that tonight and today. And we'll just claim his promises and do what he said he'd do. Amen? Now, come on, folks. You got to say amen to me. We'll be here till tomorrow morning. Amen. Hello? Now, watch this. Now, folks, think about this. He did this with God's promises. But he didn't just do it with God's promises. He did it with the presence of the Lord. Look in chapter 1, verse 5. And he said, and there shall not any man be able to stand before thee as all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Hey, praise the Lord tonight, folks. I like the thought of thinking today. I look back over my life, and God let some great men influence my life. One of them was Dr. Bruce Cummins, who was the pastor of the Massillon Baptist Temple for 45 years. And I went there in what we call the glory days of the ministry. They ran 1,800, 1,900, the high days of 2,000. I remember watching that man and listening to him preach, and I'm thinking to myself, if I can just walk with God like that man walks with God, have the power of God like he has, and God told me one day, he said, hey, as I was with Bruce Cummins, I'll be with you. If you just ask me, amen. If you just walk with me, you just have a relationship with me, I'll be with you what I did with him. Hey, folks, listen, Moses and these people went into that place with the presence of God, with the promises of God. Hey, folks, we need to go forward tonight with the presence of God, with the promises of God, that there is yet much land to be possessed. Amen. And God said, as I was with them, I'll be with you. I'm looking at some young people tonight. You listen to me tonight. God can still call young people, still put them into ministry, and still do great things with them, and just like he's done in days gone by. Amen? Now watch this. I want to give you this. But also, Joshua attempted this not just with the promises of God and the presence of God, but with the power of God. Don't have time to read it, but you read chapter 2, on through those next 8 or 10 chapters till you get to chapter 13. I mean, God parts the Jordan River, takes them across to the other side. He takes them over to Jericho. The walls fall flat. I mean, he delivers them. They experience the power of God. I'm on one rabbit trail tonight. If there's something missing in fundamentalism in America today, it's just an old-fashioned power of God. We've lost it. I remember, I tell this story all the time. I remember Dr. Cummins getting up and talking about how that when the gambling started moving to Mass in Ohio, he took out a full-page ad in the paper and said, tonight I'm going to preach on the four biggest gamblers in town, and I'll name them by name. And man, he said that Cadillacs and the Lincolns started pulling up in front of the church, and he said they filled the first three rows of the auditorium. And one of the men said to him, he said, preacher, if you call us by name, you'll never get off that platform. He said, we come to make sure that you didn't do it. He said, bring it on. And preached that night on the four biggest gamblers in town. He talked about the man that gambled with his soul and some more things like that. And men got saved. And the headlines in the paper 2 weeks later was that the Baptist temple drove gambling out of Massillon, Ohio. You say, preacher, what are you saying? The God that walked with him, the God that gave him those promises, is the same God that gave him the power to do that, is the same God that will give us the power to do whatever God tells us to do. Amen. Amen. Now, this is just leading up to something. Now I go back. I want you to think about something tonight about the matter of missions. If you go back in the history of America, you get about to the turn of the 1800s, some things happened in America concerning missions. There was a man named Samuel Mills who was attending Williams College. You go to the Fox's Book of Martyrs, you'll find this recorded there. He was attending Williams College, and some fellow students and him together got a burden to reach the heathen people of this world. They began to pray together. They began to band together and ask God to use them to reach the heathen people of the world, and that the heathen people of this world would get the gospel and they would be saved. In 1806, four of them were walking down a road one day and got caught in a rainstorm, and they took refuge under a haystack. Now, I grew up on a farm. I understand that, amen. They didn't used to always have these round balers and things like that. We used to stack hay by hand. And so that when you'd turn the cows in there, they'd eat the bottom of the haystack out. And these four men took refuge under that haystack and began to band together even more and pray that God would reach the heathen people of this world with the gospel. Now watch this, there's a progression that follows here. In June of 1810, well, back up a minute. They then left and went to Andover Theological Seminary to go to school, and a man named Adoniram Judson joined them at that college. And these men again began to pray, now with Judson in the group, that God would reach the heathen people of this world. In 1810, four of them offered themselves as missionaries to the Massachusetts Congregational Association seeking support. And thus they started the American Board of Commissioners for Foreign Missions. Now they commissioned these guys for support to go to the heathen people of this world to preach the gospel, and they denied them support. And the next year, they sent Adoniram Judson back to England to go to the London Missionary Society to try to get money. They denied Adoniram Judson money to do that. Judson came back to America. Now, hang on. I'm going somewhere with this thing. Judson came back to America, and there he is. They're still trying to find a way, and they went back to this Massachusetts Congregational Association, petitioned again, and they gave them money to go to the mission field. So in 1812, in February of 1812, they secured the money, and the first missionaries from America sailed to the foreign field. Adoniram Judson and his wife and a man named Price. Now this is my Presbyterian shout right here, amen. They're on their journey on that ship going over there, and in their Bible study and in their prayer time, they realized that their baptism was wrong. And so they came to the conclusion that you got baptized after salvation by immersion. And so when they got to the Orient and got off the boat in Calcutta,
Hey, they got baptized when they got off that boat by William Carey. Amen? So in essence, the Congregational Church sent the first Baptist missionaries. Amen. And so after William Carey baptized them, Price decided he better come back to America and tell the Congregational Churches they changed their doctrine. Amen. And so then Adnan Judson went on to Burma to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Price got back to America, told the Congregational Churches what they had done, they dropped all their support, and here's Judson left in Burma without any support, any help, and God's still doing it, amen. And since 1812, we have sent out hundreds of missionaries. We've sent out thousands of dollars. We've shipped material all over this world to reach this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I come to tell you tonight, there is yet much land to be possessed. We have not reached this world with the gospel yet. We've not accomplished the task. You saw tonight, in your very presence, the hundreds of thousands of people in the Himalayan mountains that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hey, folks, it's time to rise up and realize that God said tonight, there's yet much land to be possessed. Amen. I can't imagine the estimate of missionaries sent around this world to preach the gospel. Hundreds and thousands of missionary families, literally probably millions of dollars been spent. Pages. I can't imagine the millions of pieces of literature that has been published to get the gospel of Jesus Christ around this world. But yet we stand and look at the 6.8 billion people in this world, and the world says 70% of them are non-Christians. I didn't say the Bible said that. It said the world said there's 70% of the world is non-Christians. Tonight, as you and I sit here, one out of every six people in this world went to a Catholic church today, bowed before a statue, crossed themselves, said their prayers to a statue and a God that cannot answer. One out of six people in this world went today somewhere on a mat and bowed towards Mecca and said prayers to a God called Allah who cannot hear their prayers. So one-third of the world's population are wrapped up in those two false religions. When you think about China, where they will be close to, one-sixth of the world's population lives in China. 1,200,000,000 people. Another one-sixth of the world's population lives in India. Yet how many missionaries do you know in India? How many missionaries do you know in China? Hey, folks, there's yet much land to be possessed with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the question we'll have to answer this week is, what will we do about it? Go to chapter 24 of the book of Joshua. I'll leave you with some thoughts tonight. Chapter 24 of the book of Joshua. We're going to answer that question tonight. How are we going to do that? How are we going to possess this land? Joshua chapter 24, if you'll read all of Joshua chapter 24, 15 times you'll find the word serve. Serve. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 14, what's he say? He said, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." Write this down. We're going to possess the land that needs to be possessed. We're going to have to do it with service and separation. I'm not talking about personal separation. I'm not talking about not looking at this or not reading that. I'm talking about coming to a point in your life when you're willing to separate from the gods of this world and the things of this world and separate unto God and serve the Lord your God. Hey, folks, listen. What we need more than anything else in America today is some more servants of God. You say, "But preacher, I'm doing all I can." Are you? Are you accomplishing all you can? See, he said, serve you. Look at that verse again. He said, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him. I'm convinced, Pastor, that there's not a godly fear in America, Brother Steph, because we'll go off and miss Sunday night services and miss Wednesday night services and miss special meetings to go to the ball field or go to the PTA meeting or go to something that we think is more important than God. And what we have done is we've raised up a God in our lives. I'll never forget going back to West Virginia to pastor after I got out of Bible school, and I should have known better. But in that day and age, I didn't think about it. And the first year I was there, we scheduled a revival meeting starting the Sunday before Thanksgiving and running through that Wednesday night. And I had a brain lapse and forgot that Monday morning is the first day of deer season in West Virginia. And we had not one man in church on Sunday night, let alone Monday night, Tuesday night, or Wednesday night. And their answer, when I said something to them about it, was not, hey, what can we do to serve God? Preacher, don't ever schedule another meeting in deer season. Hey, folks, he said, well, it's not Joshua and said, choose ye this day whom you will serve. It's Joshua not the one that said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We need some daddies to rise up today and some husbands and say, we're going to separate from the gods of this world and we're going to serve the Lord. If that means we go to Uganda and leave a lucrative career and leave a good profession and leave the comforts of this country to go to a place like Uganda where most people believe AIDS originated. Hello? The average age, if I remember right, is what? The average age in Uganda is less than 40 years old, is it not? Hello? You want to know why? It's because of the influence of AIDS. And can I tell you, before your mind goes in the wrong direction, it's not because of all this ungodly lifestyle in Uganda. It's because of unsanitary medical conditions. I was in Kenya, Africa. I went with a missionary. As he went to the medical facility, one of his men, and a man stood in the corner of this big room as the doctor. And we watched as he examined 10 people before he got to Brother Joseph. And every one of those 10 people, he reached over on this table, took this needle and gave them a shot, laid it back on that table, and never, ever, even once wiped it off with alcohol. That's how it spreads. But think about leaving this country and going to a place like that. That takes dedication. That takes a willing heart that's willing to separate from the things of this world and serve a living God. I wonder, is everybody in Eden, New York saved? How many people in this community, in this area, preacher? 8,000? I think there's much land yet to be possessed. We don't have 8,000 here tonight. We don't have 800. There's yet much land to be possessed in America. There's men rising up and going to places to plant churches. Folks, we need servants. Read the Pauline epistles. Every time Paul starts one of those letters, he says, Paul, a servant. Hello? One of the men that we work with is a chaplain, Chaplain Dan Hall. Chaplain Dan Hall was pastoring a very successful ministry in Memphis, Tennessee, when God worked in his heart after 9/11 and put him back in the military as a chaplain. And he made this statement. Whenever you meet him and introduce himself, he said, my name is Dan Hall. I'm an independent, fundamental Baptist preacher presently serving as a naval chaplain in the United States military. I like it. 70,000 men go through his command every year. Because he's the chaplain for the Naval Training Center in San Diego, California. We need people that will serve and separate. Now watch this. Look at the very next verse in chapter 24, verse 15. He said, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Is that the testimony of your house? Back up to chapter 23. Notice the verse here with me. Chapter 23, verse 6. Not only was service and separation, but notice what he says in verse 6 of chapter 23. Be ye therefore very, what? To keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you. And he talks about that. In verse 8, he said, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. He said, preacher, what do you mean? Service and separation. Write this down. Choice and courage. Courage. Hello? In chapter 24, verse 15, what he said, as for me and my house, we choose to serve the Lord. But we're choosing to do it with courage, with boldness, with an excitement in our hearts. Days gone by, Christians were people of courage. Amen? You go back and you read the first books of Joshua, and you read on when God told Moses, he said, be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. There was days, I remember when we first started deputation, race support to go to the Rock of Ages, a pastor said to me one night after I got done preaching, said, Brother Morrison, if you just lighten up, you just back up a little bit. Quit being so loud and carry on like you do. And so hard-nosed about some things. You would raise your support a lot quicker. And I thought to myself, I don't want to be that way. Amen. I don't care. God's done it in my life. I cannot back up. Amen. Hey, folks, listen. Do we serve the Lord with courage? Do we make the choice and then do it with courage and strength? There's no reason, young man, that you should be timid and uneasy about serving God. You're serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And your captain of this army is Jesus Christ. Be strong and have a good courage. Rise up and say to this world, I serve somebody. That's what we need. You imagine the courage it takes for a man to take his wife and family and go among those people in Nepal, those Tibetan people, the Hindus. They're sometimes violent people. He said they're cordial and hospitable, but I cannot tell you, when push comes to shove, you're still the outsider. Amen? You go to Uganda with your family, it still comes down to this. How do you, preacher, how do you rise up, take your family to a place like that? You choose, and then you have the courage to believe God can do this. Hello? How is a man, I talked to a man the other day who went to Utah to start a church in the middle of Mormon country. How in the world does a man do that? He has to drive 100 miles to buy groceries because nobody in town will sell him anything. He wants to build anything, he has to drive 100 miles to buy it because nobody in town will sell him building material. And there he is in the middle of all that oppression, standing for the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you do that? You choose that you're going to serve the Lord, and you stand there with the courage of God in your soul. I can do this not because of me, but because of the God of heaven. Amen. One of the biggest issues right now with the chaplains and the chaplaincy corps in America is everybody says, you can't pray in Jesus' name. You can't pray in Jesus' name. That's a joke. They can if they got the courage. One of the chaplains, a young man, Brother Davidson, just got in. Pray for him. He leaves Tuesday going to Afghanistan. And he just got in his command at Fort Benning, Georgia. And he's there, and they had a retirement ceremony. They asked him to come over and pray. So he gets up, and young chaplain gets done talking what he's going to say, and he said, okay. He got ready to pray, and he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. So his CEO came to him. He said, the chaplain said, my CEO didn't like that. So he calls me and said, what do I do? I told him. So they had another ceremony a few weeks later. And he got done saying what he's going to say. And he got ready to pray. And he said, now in the name of the one that died on the cross and shed his blood for my salvation, amen. He said, Brother Morrison, they walked over and shook my hand. Said, you did a wonderful job. Yes, amen. Hey, folks, you've got to stand up with some courage, some backbone, and say, there's a God that told me to do this. And I choose to do this. Hello? Chaplain Hall faced a decision. I'll tell you this and move on. Chaplain Hall faced a decision the other day. They came to him and said, we want you to take a special command as a naval chaplain. We want to move you from San Diego, California to Norfolk, Virginia, and we want to give you a two-year assignment, and your two-year assignment is to write the procedural manual for the Naval Chaplaincy Corps. You do this, 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 and this to be a chaplain in that unit. He said, sir, he is talking to the chief of chaplains for the Navy. He said, sir, my wife has lupus. He said, to move her from San Diego, California to Norfolk, Virginia would be very detrimental to her health. And he said, we have prayed about it, and God said no. And the chaplain said, the chief of chaplains said, well, sir, you realize that you're jeopardizing your career. You're right now at 04, destined to be 05 within a year. And if he took this command, they promised him he would be 06. There's only one more step for a chaplain, it's 07. And he said, I know, sir, but I got to do what God said to do. He calls me back. He said, guess what, preacher? I said, what? He said, they don't want me to move anymore, but they do want me to help write the thing. Hello? He had to plant his feet, choose what he was going to do, and have the courage of God in his heart. There's yet much land to be possessed. We need some courageous Christians that will choose to go on visitation and knock on a door with the courage of God in their heart to tell the people about Jesus Christ that need to be saved. Somebody say amen. We need some young men that will say, I choose this day to serve the Lord. I'm not going the way of the world. I'm not going out here to make all the money and all the glory the world has to offer. I'm going to choose to serve the Lord. That means I end up in Tibet as a missionary. Well, praise the Lord. Can you imagine a man that's, how many languages do you speak now? I have trouble with English, son. I've been in meetings when they had to have an interpreter for my hillbilly. Speaks several languages fluently. Worked on 15. You think he could not succeed in the world? But he had to have the courage to serve the Lord. Come back here and I'll try to finish. You know what that means when the preacher says that? Nothing. Amen. Now watch this. Chapter 24. I won't read it all, but look in verse 24. And the people said unto Joshua, chapter 24, verse 24, the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. Now, if you read all the verses previous to that, especially the first 12 verses of chapter 24, Joshua rehearses in their ears all that God had done to get them there. Amen? Now they said, we will serve God. You're going to have to do it. If we're going to possess the land that needs to be possessed, we need to do it with service and separation. We need to do it with choice and courage. We need to do it tonight with remembrance of all that God has done for us. But with the resolve, what did he say in verse 24? And the people said, the Lord our God, we will serve. And his voice, we obey.
he rehearsed all that God had done in their lives, and they remembered the God that brought them out of Egypt. They remembered the God that parted the Red Sea. They remembered the God that gave them manna in the wilderness. They remembered the God that smote the rock and gave them water in the wilderness. They remembered the God that stood there that day and parted the Jordan River, and they walked through on dry ground. They remembered the God that took the walls of Jericho, and they fell flat to the ground, and the God that defeated the Amorites and all the inhabitants of that land. They began to remember that. And when they remembered what God had done, they then turned with a resolve to the God of heaven and said, we will serve him. Will we serve him? We'll serve that God. That's the one we need to serve. It'd do every one of us good once in a while, just sit down and go back and remember what God has done for us. And then with that turn and say, okay, God, now I'm going to serve you with more resolve than I ever had in my life. I mean, look, folks, you're looking at a fella from West Virginia. I'm proud of that, amen? Come on, say amen. I just spent a week in Ohio. If you ever took all the West Virginians out of Ohio, there wouldn't be anything left, amen? I told them the other day, best thing ever come out of Ohio was I-77 going south into West Virginia. Made them all mad, amen? But I'm telling you, folks, listen, I grew up on a farm. We got up every morning, milked the cows, fed the hogs, gathered the eggs. Hello? I didn't grow up in some metropolitan area. I tell people the town I grew up in was so big, the sign that said you're in, the sign that said you're out, they put it on the same pole. We got a blinking light one time in town. We arrived, amen. I didn't grow up in this huge place. I did not grow up in a family that went to church. It wasn't until 6 weeks before my dad died that he got saved. I did not grow up with the benefits some of you have or have had. I didn't grow up in it. I didn't grow up with people. Even in the last 20-some years of serving the Lord, I've not had a family on my side. My wife's side, praise the Lord, has. But on my side, I do not have a family that says, go, do it, serve the Lord, we're praying for you. They don't do that because they don't serve the Lord. I have a brother that's lost. My other brother claims to be saved, but he doesn't act like it half the time. I didn't grow up with that, but I can go back and remember on May the 20th, 1972, the altar of the West Milford Baptist Church, when God reached down and saved a 16-year-old boy. I remember March of 1978 when God took me to Mexico with a man named Carlos Demers, and I saw the glory of missions and what God could do. And I surrendered my life to preach the gospel on a mountain in Mexico and came back, and my life changed. I can go back and tell you how God took us from a good job and a decent place to live and put us in Bible college. And we barely made the money on a weekly basis that it took to pay our rent on a month. But God provided every need. I go back and remember when we first started that church and pastoring and prayed, and God gave us 13 acres of property and gave us the blocks to build the basement and gave us help to get it done. And I go back over my life and I begin to remember what a great God I serve. Amen. And that ought to make me every day of my life turn right back to Him and say, God, I'll serve you. You can do this through me. Because there's yet much land to be possessed. If God could take him to the Himalayan mountains, I wonder what he could do with you. What could he do with you? Hello? Take this in the right way. If God can use Frank Broughton, amen? No wonder him and I get along so good, amen? They have the same IQ, everything, amen? God can use you because there's yet much land to be possessed. We've got a lot to get done, folks. There's hundreds and hundreds of towns and villages, thousands of villages and cities that have not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look on that wall back there and see all the languages that doesn't have the Word of God.
You heard what this man said tonight about the people, the different types of people, not just the Tibetan people, but different groups of people all over those Himalayan mountains that need the gospel. There may be somebody here tonight that God would say, "You can go. Hey, listen, remember what I've done for you. You can go." And you ought to come to an altar tonight and say, "Lord, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to do it by choice and with courage. I'm going to separate from this world to serve you. I'm going to do it remembering what you did and with a resolve in my heart. We can do this." One of the things is coming up, and I'll tell you this. I won't give you all the details, but there is a possibility we will be given permission by the Department of Defense and the Army Reserve to train volunteer chaplains for Army Reserve units all over America. And I'm thinking, Brother Seth, my soul, how are we going to do that? There's 27 units that a commanding officer came to us about just in Pennsylvania, parts of Ohio, West Virginia, Maryland, 27. Can you imagine what there is in the rest of the United States? And what we would do is train men like Pastor Seth and Pastor Cole to be volunteer chaplains in Army Reserve units. You know what God said to me one day? There's yet much land to be possessed. And I'm trying to possess it. I just need some people do it with. Brother, I've been to Uganda, I've been to Kenya. I met two Ugandan men, got saved. They were Seventh-day Adventist preachers and came over to Nakuru, Kenya to visit a Seventh-day Adventist preacher friend of theirs, and them two guys got saved and started attending the Bible college in Nakuru, Kenya, Africa, and now are back in Uganda planting churches, independent Baptist churches. God said there's a lot to be possessed. I need people to possess it. I wonder what will you do to possess this land for Jesus Christ, for God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight and this week. Lord, there's a good spirit here tonight. Lord, as we come to our heart tonight, there's yet much land to be possessed. Lord, we could place 50 chaplains if we had them. Lord, there's places in this world asking for missionaries, opening the door. If we just had a missionary to go. There's people down the street from this church, Lord, that need to be saved. Somebody would just go. There is much land to be possessed. Lord, please tonight, would you speak to our hearts about this? May we today separate from the things of this world to serve you. May we choose to serve you with courage. May we remember what you've done for us and resolve in our hearts tonight, we will serve the Lord. Blessing the invitation tonight, please, Father. For it's in Jesus' name. Amen. With your heads bowed, eyes closed.